Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you, Jules. Thanks, everyone. Hope you're having a great night. Just to get it out of the way before one more person comes up to me and talks to me about how close the game is between Carlton and Essendon, I don't want to know, so don't give me away anything because I want to remain in tune to the Holy Spirit, and Holy goes for Essendon, and I go for Carlton, and I wouldn't be happy if Essendon get up. But don't tell me, okay? It's like I'm going home to see it. So I'm excited for tonight, and I want to pick your brains a little bit. I want to make sure you're making paying attention tonight. So to start with, here's a couple of questions. You ready? You are the bus driver. You drive 3 blocks and pick up 2 people. You drive 3 more blocks and 1 person gets off. You drive around the corner and pick up 5 people. How old is the bus driver? Do you get that? Yes, however old you are, because you are the bus driver. Very good. One more. You are a cyclist in a cross-country race. Just before crossing the finish line, you overtake the person in second place. In what place did you finish? Second, very good. We've got some good listeners here tonight, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit about listening and making sure that we are listening. And, you know, I'm going to start off tonight by admitting something to you. Sometimes I am a bad person, only very occasionally. But before you judge me, you might do this as well. Sometimes I use selective listening on my wife, very occasionally, and I'm working on it. The other day I was in my bedroom just putting away some clothes, and ever so faintly I hear this, Matthew, and my mind kind of goes, that could have been the washing machine. So I just choose not to hear it because I know what that Matthew means. It means that she wants me to do something. Yet somehow it's like a superpower of hers. Every time I do this, she knows when I have heard and I've ignored her. She knows. And I walk out like nothing's happened, and it never turns out well for me. I've grown up with a cat, and so I know what it's like to be ignored. And we just got a puppy, and I think I've got a picture so that everyone's on side with me tonight. It's a cute dog, isn't it? And I was promised that dogs listen to you, but this guy does not. And so I want a refund on my puppy. But no, he's learning, he's getting there. You know, we can ignore things or people in our life just like this. But unfortunately, it often goes beyond that as well, where we can be like this when it comes to listening to God. And tonight I want to share about powerful prayers, about God's voice and His heart to speak into us and through us. And my title for this message is Speak, Lord, Your Servant is Listening. So I encourage you, grab your notebooks out. It's great to take notes in church, so make sure you have something to take notes on. Let's write some stuff down tonight so that we fully comprehend and get and take away with us what God is going to say. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. Lord God, we thank you for just the incredible presence of your Spirit here tonight already. Lord God, that we can come here, we can be in your presence. We can learn about your heart for us, and Lord God, we can grow in you. So Father God, we just pray for a humility and a vulnerability tonight that allows us to grow in who we are in you, Lord God. Grow in our understanding of you and press into what it is that you have for us next. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to read a passage you may have heard before in 1 Samuel. As God comes to a boy named Samuel, one night. So 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 to 10 is where we're going to read tonight. So open with me, and this is how it goes. It's on the screens if you don't have your Bible. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So a third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So he told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." What a brave response as an 11-year-old boy to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And I've personally never heard God speak to me out loud. I don't know if you have, but I remember hearing this passage as a kid and lying in my bed praying and being petrified that God was going to speak to me. I don't know if anyone else experienced that or if it's just me, but it would be cool. But as an 11-year-old boy, I don't know whether I would have the guts to go back in there and be eager to hear more of the verbal voice. It'd be scary, but what a wonderful, wonderful prayer and response that is. You know, how many times in our day, I was reflecting on this, on our week, in our year, do we stop and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. Speak, Lord, I am ready to do what you're calling me to do. Speak, Lord, you have my full attention." And when preparing for a message, I find myself repeating that prayer regularly to hear what God has to say. But as I was preparing this message, my mind kept coming back to this line over and over again, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And it was more than just a means to hear what God has to say next in the message, but actually I felt like God wanted me to stop and reflect just on this line. Because it's actually a deep and powerful prayer, and hopefully it sticks with you tonight as much as it is now sticking with me. And I've broken it into four sections. Number one, speak. Number two, Lord. Number three, your servant. Number four is listening. So start off with speak. You know, in life, we can assume or get into the habit of thinking God, like us, has a schedule to follow, and therefore he's only available sometimes. It might be when we're, you know, home alone or there's some space and then I'll hear from God, or when I'm at church or when I'm at camp. Sure, those moments may be more conducive to hearing God's voice, but the truth is, God is always speaking. Therefore, the question is not actually, is God speaking to me? But am I listening to him? You know, prayer is a means of communication between us and our Heavenly Father. And communication goes two ways. There's the speaking component, and then there's the listening component. And how often we can come to God with our prayers and our requests and what we think should happen and not listen to him speak. I'm sure God is there going, "Yeah, that's great. I love that you come to me. I love that you're here with me. But actually, I've got more for you. I want to speak to you. Let me speak to you." I studied exercise science at uni, and I remember chatting to this guy who was on my footy team about an injury that I had. And I was trying to use all this fancy terminology that I was learning in my course. You know, the tendon above my gastrocnemius was inflamed, probably using the rectus femoris too much. And he very politely just nodded along and eventually let me know that he was actually a physio, and proceeded to tell me exactly what was actually going on and what those muscles actually meant, because he knew a lot more than me. And you know, sometimes we can come to God with half an exercise science degree and think he ought to know what we know, when actually he's waiting patiently to get a word in. He's waiting for us to give him a chance to help us, to guide, to enlighten us, to challenge us. Matthew 4 verse 4 says this, "Man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Do we cling to God's words like they are all we need for survival? Do we hunt after God's words as if they are our daily bread? There's a challenge for all of us. You might be someone who really struggles to hear from God, or perhaps you see these people around you receiving profound revelations from God, but you just don't seem to experience that. Perhaps then you can relate to Samuel in this verse, in this passage. It says in verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know or personally experience the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed directly to him." He was a young boy. So Samuel, at this point, he was out of practice. He hadn't been trained to hear the voice of God. Hence, he didn't recognize that voice when he'd been called. And just because we aren't hearing from God doesn't mean he's not speaking. Sometimes we can hear God but not recognize it as him. It was actually Eli who was able to point out to Samuel that it was God's voice in this instant. See, Eli had been in the game a little bit longer, and so he knew how to recognize God's voice. And the same is true for us. The more we practice, learn, and listen to God speak, the easier it is to recognize his voice. It says Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but he would, and we'll see that later on. So if God is always speaking and his words are our daily bread, then how does he speak? Because his voice doesn't always come audibly, like for Samuel. It's not always obvious as a burning bush in the Bible. God speaks in an abundance of different ways. Sometimes he speaks through others, like Eli and Samuel, through a message, through a word, through wise counsel. Sometimes he speaks through creation. And I've got some verses up there if you want to write them down and look at them later. We don't have time to go through them tonight. Sometimes he speaks through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God speaks through circumstances. I had a friend who played in one of my footy teams when my dad was the chaplain, and we were away on a camp one day, and he happened to spend too much time on the toilet, and the bus actually left without him to go home. And so he was stranded, and luckily my dad had driven and was able to take him home, and it actually opened up an opportunity for him to talk about God and talk about salvation. And actually not long later, that guy actually passed away. And I think about the significance of God speaking to him in that moment. Something so simple as missing that bus opened the door for God to speak to him in that moment before he passed away. And not only that, but a couple of years later, I met his best friend and began carpooling with him to training, being able to talk to him about that same message, encouraging him that his best friend actually heard the same good news before he passed away. God speaks through circumstances, even hard ones. But perhaps the most obvious and most reliable way is that God speaks through his word. If you are struggling to hear from God, can I challenge you to allow him to speak to you through the truth of his word? Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." This thing is at our fingertips. God's word is at our fingertips. Let's dig into it, because the word will convict you, it'll encourage you, it'll speak life into you, it'll bring revelation to you, and it's here with us. So let's use it. So number one, God is speaking. Let him speak to you. Number two, it says, "Speak, Lord, Lord." When we come before God and we call him Lord, it should actually change our posture when it comes to prayer. It should shape the way we posture ourselves before him. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Again, if God is speaking and truly is Lord, meaning he is the ultimate authority, he is supreme, all-powerful, all-knowing, the creator of this massive universe and this incredible creation as we heard this morning, and God tells you to do something to which our response can be a good suggestion, God. Let me think about it. Let me think about the pros and cons. Or maybe sometime in the future. Those responses aren't speak Lord. They're speak friend. They're not speak Lord. They're speak friend. A friend once said to me, "Hey, you need to go and see Les Mis, the show." And I politely said, "No, I'm not interested." Because it's my friend and I can say that. But when God tells you to go and see Les Mis, you go and see Les Mis. I don't know why that that example came into my mind. I just really don't want to see Les Mis. So when Samuel says, "Speak, Lord," he recognizes the authority that he is under. When we pray, who is Lord in our prayers? When you pray, is the focus on you or is it on God? The world today is full of people who are Lord of their own life. As it says in Luke 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" People who believe that they know best, and it's usually governed by what they feel in the moment. And yet, how many people know that when you follow what you feel in the moment, it is rarely going to lead to the best outcome? But asking the Lord to speak means trusting the response is greater than our thoughts and greater than our feelings. If we look at the Bible, and for those that perhaps know the Bible well, then I'm going to ask you a trivia question. And that question is, how many times does God ask someone to do something where the person's response was, "Yeah, easy. Actually, that's what I was thinking. I'm going to do that." Think of Moses. I don't know if that's an easy thing to do, go to Pharaoh and free those people. Noah, a 500-foot ark to build by hand. He didn't say that's easy. Jonah, he was preaching to the most rebellious group in the world. Mary, be the mother of a son of God as a virgin. To see themselves as Lord would result in turning from what God is calling them to do. But to respond with God as Lord would mean saying, yes, God, I trust that you are in control. Your ways are greater than mine. You are Lord, and I am not. The first lines of the Lord's Prayer is this, in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God as Lord in our prayers is exactly that. Not my will, but yours be done. And when this happens, when God is Lord, there are two things that we can be certain of. Number one, God will be glorified. And number two, it will be for our good. Romans 8:28, we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So point two, God as Lord means posturing yourself as the second most important in the conversation and trusting that although this way may look different to our way, it will be greater, it will glorify him, and it will work for our good. Not my will, but yours be done. Number three, your servant. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What I love about speak, Lord, your servant is listening is that he speaks into his response without even knowing what's coming. By saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. He speaks into his response. He's his servant without even knowing what God has to say. He has faith that if God is speaking to him, then as his servant, he is ready to respond no matter the cost. That's the kind of person that I want to be. That's the kind of response I want to have when I pray, when I seek God's voice. When we ask God to speak, there's usually more in his response than just to benefit us. We know that when God speaks to us and instructs us to do something, he actually wants to bless others as well. We know this through the life of Christ. Jesus illustrated the heart of God here on earth as a servant. Jesus was a servant. The heart of God is to serve. In Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And when we look to receive from God with our hands out, his intention is not just to bless us, but to bless others through us. Zaki and Schwabi, do you want to come up on here? I've got a quick illustration with this fan. We've had a few illustrations lately, so I thought I'd join in with this. Zach's a big unit, so you're going to be the front man. And Shelby, not that you're not a big unit, but you can be the back man. So we got this fan here. And Zach, why don't you come stand in front of it here? And I'm going to chuck it on. This is in my office to cool me down. And Zach, you can face the fan like this. And Shelby, you just come here and just stand behind him like that. Yeah? Good. You see that? That's the start of my illustration. Oftentimes when wanting to hear from God, we can be so intrinsically focused that we miss the point. And what we do is we have this fan here and pretend that it's a really hot day, and it's able to satisfy our needs. But when our position is like this, we're blocking the person behind us. Can you feel anything, Shelby?
No, I can't.
Good. I didn't even tell him to say that. But when it's focused on ourselves, we miss an opportunity to allow it to impact someone else. But when we recognize that this message is not just for us, we change our position and intention to allow God to work through us. And so if Zach just changes his position and he can feel the breeze coming through, that's God's intention for us to open up and not just hold on to the wind, not just hold on to the cool, not just to hold on to our own needs, but to allow his filling to outwork through us. Yeah? Thanks, guys. Give him a hand. It's not just to bless us, but to bless those we are serving. It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not about just coming to the fan for ourselves to cool down in a moment that we need it. Coming to God is not a part-time offer. Coming to God as a servant is not a part-time offer. It is giving all of ourselves over to him. And this is crucial because, as I said earlier, what you hear from God is not always going to be easy. And it shows this in the next part of our passage in Samuel. We read up to verse 10 of the story. And if you follow me to verse 11 to 14 now, and see what God has to say to young Samuel in this moment. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told them that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." All of a sudden, this servant thing has become real for Samuel. He wakes up and he goes and tells Eli what God instructs him to say. Not an easy thing to say. And when we ask God to speak with the intention of being his servant, we actually have to be prepared to do something that we perhaps wouldn't otherwise do. When we truly want to serve God, he actually stretches us. He calls us into the uncomfortable. And in doing so, he grows our faith. The more we step out in faith with a servant heart, the stronger we become. And this is what happens to Samuel. This is just straight after in verse 19 and 20, and it's exciting. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And for those that know Samuel, he was a special man. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, is that right? Beersheba? I don't know how to pronounce that. Recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Now, Samuel's a powerful example of a servant-hearted prophet hearing from the Lord and following through on what he says. So point three, be ready to serve with your whole heart. And finally, number four is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Am I the only one that has sat in a plane when they're doing the safety briefing and got to the end of it and had no idea what to do if the plane was going down? Anyone else? Is it just me? I've sat in many planes, probably about 20, 30 planes. And I've never got to the end of that feeling confident about what to do when the plane's crashing. But I have got a bit of a reputation from Holly and my mum for perhaps not being the best listener, and I'm working on it. I think it might be an attention or an ADHD thing, because a lot of the time I have every intention of listening, but there's just so many things going on around me that I just can't concentrate. And sometimes it's the same with our faith. Sometimes I think we can say, "I'm listening to you, God," but truthfully, we're far from giving him our full attention. Why? Because there's so many things. There's so many distractions around us. But actually putting aside every distraction, whether that be our phone, our emails, our to-do list, or even a person, putting aside our distractions is what God requires of us. Can I challenge us tonight, and this is just about as much about challenging me as it is anyone else, to ask yourself these questions. When was the last time you spent an hour watching Netflix? When was the last time you spent an hour playing sport or playing Xbox or exercising? Now, when was the last time you spent an hour truly listening to God, spending an hour in God's presence? The truth is, listening to God, it takes sacrifice. When you're sitting down with a group of friends and you've got a movie on in the background, you can either listen to the movie fully and be fully absorbed, particularly if it's a new movie and you don't know what's going on. You can follow that, or you can follow the conversation. You can't do both. You can't juggle both fully and get a grasp of both fully. We have to give something up and give up the distractions of this world to truly listen to what God has to say. But it is not an empty sacrifice. I've never spent time listening to God and regretted that time. It's not about being seen. It's not about punching in our timesheet and saying, that one's done. It's about pursuing God with a whole heart, with our whole heart. Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8. And these are straight out of Jesus' mouth, these words. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I might get the worship team up, if that's all right. So what does this passage tell us? God is after your heart. He is after a heart that longs to hear his voice. A heart that longs to serve him, to put the distractions aside, to put the busyness aside, and to spend time with him. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. This is later on. Samuel's now an old man. And it says, well, this is as Samuel himself actually anoints David, the coming king, as a shepherd boy to be future king. And he says this. He says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And then later on, and I believe nothing in the Bible is a coincidence, David is later on described as a man after God's own heart. Again, Samuel listens to God. He shares godly wisdom and through his obedience sows into the life of the future king. Truly listening to God and obeying his call requires a heart that is turned to him. In the earlier passage, Jesus speaks about the hypocrites praying for the purpose of how it looks, praying for recognition. And it's one of those noises that can prevent us from hearing from God. What are other people going to think of me? I guess I'll pray because everyone else is. But Jesus instructs us to quiet the noise. Are we praying because it's the norm? Because it's what is accepted? Or are we truly praying, seeking God in a Matthew 4 verse 4 kind of way, where the words are our daily bread? It starts with a heart after God's. A heart that is willing to, and ready to quiet the noise and listen closely to God's voice. So I want to pause, and in a moment we're going to go into a time of worship and give us a chance to perhaps even pray this prayer. But before we do, let's ask ourselves a couple of questions. How is your heart? How is your heart when it comes to listening and responding to God's call on your life? What does he want you? What does he want to say to you tonight? Speak, Lord. Speak. God is always speaking. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Your servant, I will follow you no matter the call, is listening. My heart is longing for you above the noise. This is not a shallow prayer. It's not one to take lightly. So don't pray for God to speak unless you're ready to hear what he has to say. Because his voice continues to challenge us, to stretch us, and to keep us dependent on him. Remembering he will never call us to do anything that we won't be able to handle because he is with us every step of the way. What a blessing. What a blessing to be used by God. What a blessing to be spoken to by God. What a blessing to be in relationship with God and to be in his presence. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. John 10, verse 27 to 28 says, my sheep hear my voice, this is Jesus, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is our exciting promise as we seek God with a servant heart, ready to respond to his call. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you see us here. You see every aspect of our lives. You see our heart. You even see our brokenness, Lord God. And yet you choose to use us. You chose to die for us so that we can be in relationship with you. But Lord God, it doesn't stop at accepting you into our lives. Father God, you call us into more. You call us to be used by you. You call us into greater things, Father God. So Jesus, we surrender everything that we have, everything that we are. And Lord, we ask you to speak. Your servant is listening. Challenge us in new ways, Lord God. Stretch us in new ways. Draw us closer to you this evening, Lord God, as we learn to lean into you, to have faith in what you have for us, to live beyond the feelings, beyond the emotions, because we are all out surrendered to you. Church, I just want us to quietly sing "I Surrender," and you can sit, you can stand, and I'm just going to spend a little bit of time. I encourage you to speak to God, to ask Him to speak, to reflect, to allow yourself to be challenged, and wait to hear what He has to say.